to use mine to get on the internet.
Oh, did yes.
Welcome to Podigious, episode 311.5. When is a schmuck? Just feedback.
D-Reaper, part 1, feedback.
Recorded September 4th, 2016.
Podigious is your physically nostalgic, analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I don't normally do this because this person that I'm introducing, Jeff Ruberg, normally does.
Finish
and
your
I'm
sentence.
Ashley McDonald.
You didn't finish your sentence.
No, I wasn't going to finish
this. We're doing a radical thing. We're trying to do this in one take, so it's going to be really sloppy and really awkward and really weird. But we're doing it anyway, because editing is really hard.
You were supposed to say hi.
Oh, I was supposed to say hi? You introduced me mid-sentence and then went back to your sentence.
No.
Anyway, we're moving on now, because it's improv. We watched a movie about improv yesterday, so now we're doing improv.
Yeah, yes and.
That wasn't the name of the movie, though. I thought the name of the movie was something. Don't think twice.
So we're
thinking three times today. So first off, we have Digimon news.
Because try.
Yes, exactly. Good segue, Ashley. The first bit of Digimon news is that there was, so first section of this is try chapter one dub news. And there was an interview with Joshua Seth, a couple of weeks ago. I have not read it though. I have it queued to read later.
Buzz?
What is this? I don't know this website. Mimbuzz.com.
Mimbuzz.
So, yeah, that's a thing that we can't really comment on because we haven't read it yet. But check it out if you want to hear more from Joshua Seth, who is the voice of Tai, by the way. Next subsection is Try Chapter 3, Kokuhaku Confession News. Most of this is that a week ago, a little more than a week ago at this point, it was August 25th. There was the Tokuban Adventure Nico Nico stream where they showed, the primary thing that people were probably interested in is they showed the first 5 minutes of Try Chapter 3, and there's a YouTube archive of that you can find. If that's your thing, that's totally not my thing. As I mentioned a couple of times before, I watched the first 5 minutes when this similar stream happened for the first chapter, and it totally ruined my experience going into this first 5 minutes because it was, you're literally just sitting around waiting for the things you already seen to happen again, and there's no excitement. Even if I read a summary of those first 5 minutes, I'd feel more excited than, you know, having seen exactly what's going to happen. So I'm not watching that. You haven't watched it either, Ashley, right?
I did not.
And I just realized that I forgot to explain my Ash and Andrew here. And it's because we're recording this at 2 a.m. Eastern time. So, yeah, we're, as part of the condensed release schedule, we're probably not going to be able to get them on every feedback episode. Maybe in the future, because we're planning to record these on weekends, so maybe we can get them on. Anyway, back to Digimon Try News. The other thing from the Adventure Nico Nico stream was the reveal of the cover art for the ending. So the ending song they revealed a couple weeks ago to be sung, quote-unquote, by Matt's band, Yamato's band. I think it's called Boku ni Tote, the name of the song, I think? Yeah, Boku ni Tote. And so they, but in the stream, they revealed the album artwork for it, which is
so good.
It's so ridiculous. It's like,
no,
it's a band photo.
So good.
But why is one of the other band members just like wearing like a Halloween costume, it looks like?
Yeah, I don't know. It's fun. Why is Gabumon there? I don't know.
Yeah, why is Gabumon in the photo? Anyway, and they're on like a weird, I think it was like a trampoline. You said it's just like a chair.
It just looks like a normal, it's weird. Chase chair, man.
It's strange. The other bit of news I didn't write down actually, but it's totally a thing that happened. We'll have a link to it in the show notes, but was the, it's some kind of collaboration shop, I think. It's the thing with the Halloween artwork.
I don't know what it was
for. Oh, you haven't seen that? Oh, but you haven't
seen
it.
I've seen the artwork. I don't know what it's for.
Yeah, I think it's for like a pop-up shop kind of deal. Which is only in the place for a couple weeks. Yeah, like September 23rd through October 12th. So it's actually there now. I didn't realize that. But yeah, it's really cool artwork. It has all the characters dressed up in Halloween costumes, including like the Pokemon and Godzilla are just there.
Wait, what are you? September 23rd?
Through October.
It's
the 4th of September. Right. Okay. Months are confusing. I thought we were at the beginning of October now. We're at the beginning of September. Okay.
I was like, did you miss say 3rd?
Okay, so,
no.
Yes. So this is not for another couple weeks. That explains why I haven't seen news about what kind of stuff they have at the shop. But anyway, it looks really cool. Everyone's dressed up in stuff. And there is one character who is dressed up in something which you will see from us soon, actually.
Yeah.
We planned a commission with a reference to something from our previous movie. And then this came out with the same reference and we were like, what?
We were like, yo, we won everything.
That's why. People got to be copied from this artwork though, but like it totally.
No, we did it first. Okay.
We haven't done it yet. It's still being worked on.
We had the plan to do it.
The artist is still working on it. So we're really excited for that. So anyway, the next subsection of news is for Atmon. And this is actually really stale news. I think the reason that showed up on my radar is because Withuwo updated their post with new clean artwork for it. But I think it was first revealed on August 5th. Is the two new manga series for Atmon. One of them is going to be like it's basically the same plot as the anime, and or I mean that's what the speculation is or whatever. And it's going to follow the same characters and everything, and be a parallel like retelling or whatever. And the other one is going to be like just featuring Atmon and like more of a I think more of a comical style. The magazine that so the main one is in V Jump, which is the Shueisha magazine that has a bunch of other video it has lots of video game news and advertisements as well as manga related to video games. Some of them aren't. Exactly to video games. I think Dragon Ball Super is in there, but things like it has Yu-Gi-Oh! It has, I think it currently has Ace Attorney manga in there. Anyway, the other one is in Psycho Jump, which I've never actually read, but when I last look at the list of manga, it's mostly things that are spin-offs of other manga. So it's like, you know, there's like a One Piece gag manga and things like that. So that makes sense that there's like the main one and the spin-off one, which is kind of, it's kind of weird that this is like, I don't know if that's a thing to launch with the main one and the spin-off already. Usually I think the spin-off is once the main one's popular. Anyway, hopefully these are good. The main reason I want to bring them up now is just because if you want them to get English releases, I can give you some advice on helping that happen. And really to get that to happen, we need support from fans. And so anyway, I know some of this information because I work for Viz, which is the US publisher of a lot slash most of titles that come from Shueisha, the publisher in Japanese. And nothing I'm really saying is like insider information, but to sure get this not. Kind of... I also can't be like, I can't force this to happen. So we need support from fans to convince Viz to license it. And as part of that, the one thing that fans can really do that affects things a lot more than I think people realize is to send in feedback to the company, just customer service requests asking, like, please, can you license this? And the way you can do that is just go to viz.com and then go to the bottom of the page and go to the, I forget what actually says exactly.
That actually influences people?
Yes. You know, it's not like direct, like as soon as the message comes in, then it's like, okay, we're licensing that. But like, you know, if there is a repeated pattern of people requesting it, then it'll go on people's radar, and editors can't be aware of everything. Everyone has their own personal tastes. And so like, if there's a series that's not really in the realm of, isn't really on the radar of some of the editors who are in charge of those imprints, or whatever, then it might just not enter their consideration. And if it's something that customer service people see a lot or recommended, they'll pass it on to them, and then it'll, you know, might enter their attention and might consider it. So the link you want at the bottom of the page is customer service, and that'll pop up a feedback form, and then you just enter an email address and comment, and the comment just say, you know, I'm a really big fan of Digimon, I really hope you license the new Digimon manga that are coming out. Something like that. Don't quote my words exactly, but a lot of people don't realize how much influence that does have, and it's like, as an individual fan, I guess the only other thing you can do is at conventions, tell people at conventions, like, I wish you licensed this, but this is the next best thing you can do outside of that. Yeah. And other news is that on August 28th, there was an interview with staff at Mon, and you haven't read this yet, have you?
No.
So I read it, and I before I read this interview, I was like, I'm not really excited for Atmon. It doesn't seem like it's going to be, you know, I was waiting for the anime to actually come out, and I was like, it doesn't seem like it's going to be for me. It seems like it's more of a refocusing on the child audience of Digimon. So I was like prepared to not be too excited by it. And then this interview came out, and it, similar to the Try interview a couple weeks ago, that made me be like, oh, they're thinking about things I didn't consider, didn't think they would be thinking about. It's led me to be much more interested in. The thing I remember the most is that, like, the villain, they're thinking a lot more about AI in the series, and which is kind of cliche and generic. And actually, one concern I had was that they, when they talked about researching AI, they were talking about watching movies that had AI in them. And I'm like, that's not research. That's just like,
it's not reality.
But I mean, it makes sense. But I also never really considered that that's what, when people talk about doing research for writing, that probably is what they mean. Is like watching other media representations of that thing. And that's how misreceptions can become so common. Anyway, the thing they mentioned as the main like spark for the idea of the main villain, or at least what is being presented as the main villain, all the promotional stuff, Leviathan. What they mentioned as the idea was Tay, Microsoft's AI. I think it was just a Twitter bot that would learn from what people talk to it. Like what people mentioned, when people talk to it, it would learn their speech patterns and then kind of grow, and they thought it'd be this really nice, like, collaborative effort, and it would, like, reflect humanity, and it'd be really peaceful, and people ended up trolling it and sending it lots of racist Nazi things, and then it became a really hateful, racist But why we can't have down.
Nice things.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, I mean, like, that being the spark for, like, who knows if the, you know, villain of Digimon is going to have a similar, the villain of Atmon is going to have a similar story or whatever, but it just is, like, that was a story that I heard a lot about and see that being the influence of Digimon. That's pretty cool. And there's lots of other interesting things about this there. The protagonist is going to be older than general protagonists. Like, I think it's going to be older than other Digimon protagonists. Most of them, like Takato and Ko, are 10 in their series, and he's going to be 12. And in in middle school instead of elementary school.
So much more wisdom in this series.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a nerd. He's a book nerd instead of a other kind of nerd or outgoing person. Anyway, it's exciting. Read the interview. There's lots of stuff there. And we need to move on quickly because we're trying to keep this short and one cut so I don't have to edit too much and so we can actually get it out on time because you'll see later when we get to Q&A. Anyway, and now moving on to Transcovered iTunes reviews. The first one is from Lefty N in the USA, and the title was Great Podcast, Transgarbled to
Denmark, the only podcast detention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how it got any of those words. Okay, podcast is the same.
I think what
Where
I found...
the other things
I think, I remember actually having trouble getting this to change the meaning. Like, I went back and forth between lots of different languages, and it stayed Great Podcast. And I was like, how is this... So what I found... Oh, there was some language I found where, like, switching it back and forth, there was some error in the translation where it just added podcast. So, like, it would go from, like, Great Podcast, go back and forth, Great Podcast, Podcast, back and forth, Great Podcast, like, and then it'd be three, and then it'd be four. So I think I got it to say Great Podcast, Podcast, and then one of the podcasts shifted into other stuff. Anyway, let's switch. You read the original and I read the transcribable.
I've been listening to them as I watch the show, and the observations they make are really entertaining and thought-provoking.
Surface is observed. Please see my entire window blinds. I have no idea how it got to that.
Surface is observed. Okay.
Yeah.
Please see my entire window blinds.
That's not a little dirty, Ashley. Keep going.
Brightens my day when I have to go on long drives or do the dishes at work.
That's sweet that it brightens their day. What they actually meant was, with the passage of time, is the same blind cable, of course.
Blind cable? Is that referring to the window blinds?
There must be some word in common here that, yeah, I don't know how blind ended up there twice. Anyway, thank you for the sweet review. And as Ash pointed out last time, we hope you're actually still listening. We have noted people who left these reviews are still listening over a year from when they left it.
We believe in you.
The next one was from Leo Cecil. Something like that, in the USA. And the title was...
Awesome!
Transgarbled to Experience the Wow!
No, that's a much better title.
I wish we had box art, so we could just put that in the back of the box.
That is...
Podigious, Experience the Wow!
Oh my god! Our new tagline. Experience the... What was it last time? Hard sex beast?
No, we're not bringing up the hard sex beast anymore, actually. No more hard sex beast.
Experience the Wow!
No one commented on the hard sex beast.
Everybody in our Slack did.
Okay. But no one on the forum or the comment section. I don't remember. Yeah, there were no comments about that. No one comments about the hard sex beast. Okay. I should have had that be one of the like, captions. Yeah. Like Jerry and her like stone face. Yeah. Hard sex beast. Okay. So, and what was the body review?
A Digimon podcast with like 10 exclamation points.
I appreciate how excited they were to leave that. It doesn't really give much information about the podcast, but like, cool that you're devoted to...
They're very excited that a Digimon podcast exists.
And that Transgarbled to Flying Digimon Pod Development. Yep, that's how I describe us.
I definitely think that flying Digimon get developed in pods.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
So now on to rejected titles for 311. My goal with this was to actually write down the original title.
No, When is a Schmuck just a Schmuck?
When is a Schmuck just a Schmuck? And the alternatives were...
Blast Mode Beautiful. Blast Mode Bay. When is a Mon a Mon? When is a Mon just a Mon? When is a Mon the D-Reaper? When is a Mon a Human? Digimon. Monsters in Disguise. Digimon, humans in disguise.
Is there a particular Transformers song you're mimicking there?
Yeah.
Okay, sure, just keep going.
Isn't that... Whatever. Digimon Go.
We should also, I guess, probably mention, because I don't know if we did in the original episode, that the title that we're riffing on was the title of the last episode we watched, which was When is Amon Justimon? So...
Why would you do this?
We just need a title, and let's just make a pun out of Justimon. So now onto RDD poll results. The winning quote was Ashley's, but I was winning quote. This one.
Beamon, what are you doing?
Staring contest.
Come on.
But I was winning.
I did win with that.
Wow. Poignant. And second place was Asher's Bagels quote.
Wait a minute, I know you. You come here all the time to buy bread and those day-old bagels.
Hey, how's it going?
Those bagels were day-old.
Still pretty good.
Oh, Yamaki.
And then breaking it down by hosts, Ashley, you were first place, Asher was second place, and I think it's the second time this happened, second week in a row, me and Andrew tied for third place with 0 points total. So,
wow!
I mean, we've had fewer and fewer people voting in the RDD. I haven't been, like, reminding on social media, but yes, we got 0 votes. Now onto the Pottages Fantasy Draft. Fantasy Draft is where you, before an episode comes out, get to vote on your fantasy team of a human and a Digimon, and then you get points based on if we choose those characters as our favorite characters from watching the episodes. And we also give extra points based on how much we like the teams, if we want those teams to exist, or we think they're the most ridiculous. So, the people, the characters we chose as our favorite in 311, I chose Beelzebub in Blast Mode, Ashley chose Rika's mom, and Asher chose Angel Jerry. And I think for the purpose of the fantasy draft that, like, we'll award points to anyone who says Beelzebub for Beelzebub Blast Mode, and anyone who says Jerry for Angel Jerry. Unfortunately, no one chose Jerry. They did choose Beelzebub, though. We're also
chose Rika's mom.
Yeah, no one chose Rika's mom. We're also, when we don't have a person on the episode, we're gonna guess their character, so we guess that Andrew would have chosen Riley. But no one chose Riley, so it didn't actually matter. And yeah, so now we choose who gets extra points for the most incongruous team and the most desired team. And normally we do this with all four of us, right? But what Ashley and Nowen are going to do, we're going to vote for Asher and Andrew as if they, I guess one of us should, we shouldn't, because we don't want to argue. You vote as Asher. And so, like, you get an Ashley point, an Asher point. I get a Jeff and an Andrew point.
Okay.
So we have some, so first off, most incongruous team. The options are Impmon and Yamaki, Impmon and Alice. I should have started with the Digimon, the human. Anyway, Impmon with Yamaki or Alice, Beelzebub with Yamaki or Ruki, then Gilmon with Yamaki, and Antilamon with Alice. So, most incongruous.
Yamaki and Gilmon.
Yeah, I guess so. Yamaki and anyone.
No, Yamaki and Impmon could have a thing.
Could have a fling, a summer fling.
Yeah.
I guess it has to be.
I don't know enough about Alice to assess her. I mean, her and Impmon have the, like, goth emo thing going on.
Yeah, but her and Antilamon is hard to assess because we don't really know anything about Alice as a character. We just know she's a tragic. She's literally just there to be a tragic figure, and we know nothing about her personality aside from her family relationship. That more thing about it is so frustrating. All we know is her family, and she's tragic. Like, that. Anyway.
And her fashion choices.
Yeah, and her fashion. And I guess as voting for Andrew, I would probably be bullied into agreeing. So I guess we're going to give 4 points to Yamaki and Gilmon.
Yeah, I feel like that's what Asher would say too. I hope they listen and then are like, y'all are so wrong.
And then for the most desired team.
Most desired team.
I think I like Yamaki and Beelzebub.
Oh, really? I like Ruki and Beelzebub. You don't have to agree with me. You can.
I'm trying to think what Andrew would think, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what would Asher think? I almost feel like Asher would think Alice and Antilamon.
I think Andrew would go with the most random, so you'd probably go with Alice and Impmon. So yeah, I'm gonna give, so we're giving 1 point, wait, what would Asher do?
I said maybe Alice and Antilamon.
Okay, so we're giving a lot of, we're all voting differently for this one.
We've decided that we're all voting differently.
So yeah, we're giving 1 point for as Andrew to Alice and Impmon, 1 point as Asher to Alice and Antilamon.
Yes.
1 point as Jeff for Yamaki and Beelzebub, and 1 point as you for Ruki and Beelzebub. So yeah, that's a lot of extra points. How does that affect the leaderboard? That would give Rika's My Favorite up to 16, Homo Neurotic up to 15, Hyalore up to 15, Erigemon up to 14. So the leaderboard stays intact with Embermoto in first place, Rika's My Favorite in second place, and Homo Neurotic tied with Hyalore and Erigemon for third place.
Tight race. I don't know if I can handle this pressure.
If you're interested in entering for the next one, this is for 311 and 312 should be airing soon, hopefully tomorrow after this comes out. And so there's not much time to get in for that, but maybe you have a chance because the draft will be open until 312 airs. And the way you can enter is on our forum, forum.pettages.com. There will just be a thread that is the draft, or we'll also put a call on social media asking for replies. And you can also just enter by replying with your pair. And yeah, and you should enter because the prize is a Tamers DVD and Tai Chi and Agumon figure. At this point, we have 12, 13, 3 more episodes. So it might be kind of tough to enter from nothing, but if you have some points from earlier in the season, you can still catch up. But starting from nothing, probably not possible anymore. Now on to question of the week voicemails. And our question of the week was, do you consider the Tamers a quote-unquote home?
This was our crack question of the podcast.
I didn't think it was so crack, but I think people weren't quite on our wavelength and didn't interpret it quite the same. I was like fully in this, like thinking about the idea of home for like a week. So, so the first voicemail we got was from May, and it wasn't quite, it was a text email. I think they sent it to us while they were on the way to Japan. So, so we're going to have Robotmon read their message.
Home is where this Russ heart is. Though real talk, the digital world isn't home, cause everything is trying to kill them there and it's not very safe. Home is the real world with their friends, family, Digimon, Seiko, and teacher. While they were together in the digital world, it was dangerous and also Rio.
Rio is not part of the home. That is correct. Get out of here, Rio.
While they were together in the digital world, it was very dangerous and also Rio.
And also Rio. I love that Robotmon is never going to learn how to say Digimon. So he's going to be Digimon.
I think May brought up a good point that, like, my point was kind of that the Digimon Tamers are home, and in the beginning of this arc, they're separated and they're not really at home. But I also think that, like, when they're in the digital world and they're all together, they still don't feel at home. You know, like,
that's because they're never all together. They're always my God, I'm gonna go back to the play.
Yes. For a large part. But there is a point where after the Beelzemon and whatever, after the Beelzemon and Calamon fight, then they are together for the rest of it, if I recall correctly. And they only briefly, you know, like,
I suppose.
And even then it feels like they're, you know, they still feel like kids that are displaced, and they're not like, oh, we're just having fun here. You know, like, they're like, we want to get home and stuff. So yeah, even I think what May said, like, it's the real world with their friends, family, they don't want Seiko and teacher, like, it's all those factors together that,
I mean, you definitely need Seiko.
I actually really forget. I always forget which one's Seiko and which one's Rumiko. Seiko's the mother. No, grandmother?
I thought Seiko was the grandmother.
Okay, Rumiko's the mother?
Rumiko's the mother.
Okay, I got them confused. The second voicemail was from Allie, and I seem to have lost it. I didn't actually lose it. It just took me time to find it. Okay, here it is.
Yes, because they are always coming back to each other and get a warm and comfy feeling together. They feel like some kind of team when they're together, but when they're away from each other, they feel far apart.
Cool.
One same page. Could be long-distance family.
Long-distance home.
Long-distance home.
That's something that I think having an object like that between you and someone else, even if you're like, oh, we're still together, we're still talking and everything, like it reinforces the distance. You know, it's kind of, we're going on a tangent, but yeah, I think anytime there's distance between you, there's, and you can also be physically close and have other things keeping you distant. So yeah.
That's true. I only found out today that my friend in Philadelphia got a dog, and this happened like a month ago, and I'm like, what? How'd I miss this?
And it's possibly going to miss that, even if you were there.
You know, it's hard when you're on also, dogs the opposite are silly. Side.
Dogs are silly. So now on to comments. We have a bunch of these to breeze through quickly. Sorry for, like, if we're not giving everything too much attention, but we've already gone 30 minutes, and we're trying to keep this recording under an hour, so we might have to be really brief. The first comment was from Hialore, and so I'm going to read this. They said, we have a couple of different things to read through. The first point was, I think you don't see much of Rio because he was added because the games were so popular. And if I was a writer and was asked to add a new character because he was so popular and people already knew his story, why should I expend screen time on him if they already know all about Rio? So I just wanted to bring this up again. I think we mentioned it in some episode, but I can't remember when it was, so I just thought it might be worthwhile to mention this. I already replied on the forums. You might have seen in the comment thread this response, but I thought it was worth mentioning on the show. And it's just that I think the myth of Rio's popularity has been overblown in the Western fanbase. Because we hear stories of how Rio is a popular character in the games, and that's why he's brought over into the show. But I think people don't, I think there's something lost in that tale that's repeated over and over. And it's that the WonderSwan was not a popular console. And even if it were a popular console, the way these dynamics typically work in anime and games is that the anime, which is freely available on broadcast television, actually, I don't know if it might be cable. I don't know exactly how that works in Japan, but it's on television to watch for free compared to the game, which you have to buy the console and the game. There's a, you know, initial investment. And so the way that dynamic works is that the show is more of an advertisement for the game and not vice versa. And anything like that where it's like he was popular in the game, so we put him in the show, seems to me like it's clearly like we put him in the show to convince people who hadn't heard of him yet to buy the games. And we showed in the games that he was popular, so let's like, you know, bring him to the big leagues in the show to get people to buy the games. And if that was a dynamic that happened, then it seems clear to me that there are people who are watching who have not played the games. That's the whole point of the ad, is to get people who have not played the games to see him and to be intrigued to buy it and stuff. So so my main point was that, like, I don't think they need to explain Rio's backstory, because I think, yeah, there if there's a decent chunk of viewers who have already heard it, you don't necessarily need to go into it again, repeat it for them. But I think the purpose of having a character like Rio in a story is twofold: to make the main story coherent by, like, giving glimpses of his backstory, just to make it fit into the main story, but also to give glimpses that make the viewer interested in buying the games to learn more. And I think Tamers failed at both of those things. It feels like the brief glimpses we get at Rio's explanation of why he's there don't make sense in the context of Tamers. And they don't make us interested to find out more of his backstory. They don't even allude to the backstory from the games.
Yeah, like, from Tamers, like, from what I know of his backstory in the games, I'm like, that's actually kind of an intriguing backstory.
Right, that's like hearing
that they,
summaries.
Like, don't put at all in Tamers, and you're like, what? This right, like, just shows up out of nowhere. And
right, the summaries we hear of the Wondersong games make him much more interested in playing the games than the show did, which is, like, an ultimate failing of the show. Like, the purpose of the show is to get you interested in Rio. So thinking about it now, I'm like, as adults watching the show, we are not interested in Rio in any sense from the show. Just not as interested in playing the games or whatever. But I'm like hesitating about that because it's like, as a kid, if I were to watch, when I watched, I don't remember exactly my reaction to Rio was at the time, but I feel like I thought he was cool. I mean, Ash has mentioned on the show that he thought Rio was super cool.
I mean, I think we've all at points acknowledged when we were 12 that we thought Rio was cool.
Right. And so I feel like if I, as a kid, had been told he's cool in the show and he has his own game, you're like, what? There's like 4 games about him? That'd be super, I'm so excited. Of course, that didn't happen because the games didn't exist in English and everything. So, like, that wasn't a possibility for us growing up. But
that's why I feel also that the myth of Rio is so grand, is because, like, a whole fan base never got those games. So they're just like, what? He must have been so popular.
Right, which is also like,
this anime.
Which is also like a pretty big contradiction. Because, like, if he was so popular, you know, like, there were a decent number of Digimon games that came out here around that time. You know, and it's like, those games never did, which spells at least some level of not being as popular as other games. Maybe it was just because they were for the console that was, you know, never came out here or whatever. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, it's frustrating because I'm like, yeah, I guess if you're looking at the show as like, what should it have done for its audience of kids? I guess it did succeed in making Rio seem interesting and make people want to check him out. But
I wouldn't say it made him seem interesting. It made him seem cool.
But I think those are similar as a kid. It's like, he's cool, I want to learn more about him. I remember when I met Andrew. It's probably a story we should have mentioned while Andrew's on the show, but anyway.
Nah.
we were visiting Ash in Florida, and I was excited to, like, meet this brother, mythical brother, who was into Digimon. And I remember we, like, talked about Digimon at dinner, and the thing that I remember impressing Andrew is that I knew who Rio was, and, like, knew that Rio was, like, cause it was when...
I don't remember this.
It was when Hunters was airing, and... Uh-huh. There was, like, looming, I think it was that, like, it was before the main crossover episode of Hunters happened, mm-hmm. and it was, like, near the end of the season, there were hints of other, there was, like, a boat that went by with some random adventure characters in the background or something.
Rio was on
there? No, not Rio. But, like, okay. It was other characters, and it was, like, I guess there's gonna be a crossover, or, like, it's happening. Like, so everyone's excited about it. And I remember Andrew and I talking about how, like, if you introduce the concept of, like, the Adventure universe and the Tamers universe also existing alongside the Hunters universe, like, where does Rio fit into that? Like, are they actually going to acknowledge or hop between them? And we're like, that's not going to make sense. And then turned out Rio never appeared, so didn't have to worry about it. But, yeah.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Anyway, Rio is a myth in the US. And we spent, like, 10 minutes talking about one... Okay, it was only 6 minutes. Anyway, the next... part of this comment from here, Lori, was Metabots. I guess we talked about Metabots. Metabots, do a podcast about Metabots.
It was because in the ad, it was about Metabots, too.
Right. And I just want to mention this because, like, yeah, I think Ashley and I at least are totally open to that.
Totally do a Metabots podcast.
It's something that, like, we actively think about wanting to do things like Podages for things that aren't Digimon. Probably when we're finished going through Digimon and in more of a bigger overview, not, like, covering 6 episodes of Metabots at a time. It's like more like... covering one season at a time or the entire show and then move on to another show or something. So that's something we're totally interested in. Availability is a kind of a problem. We looked into ways to get And it's like there's the, they made a DVD set of the first season, and the second season only existed on like individual DVDs of a couple episodes. So that'd be difficult. Maybe someday it'll be on a streaming service. Anyway, just wanted to mention that like we are open to doing similar critically nostalgic things for things like that, and hopefully we can do that someday. The next part is coming from here, Laurie, was, I have a theory that Ryo is half digital, or is able to do all he does because of the connection he has to the digital world in adventure and the games. And also, Ryo's father isn't his real father. He is Jedi, and he gets younger to fit the role of Ryo's dad, and that's why Jedi is young in Zero Two. Ryo's father is the original Jedi, and the ones in Zero Two are clones. And that's why Ryo's father is so pissed at him for going to the digital world. He is important, and he shouldn't mess with this version of the digital world. This would also explain why Jedi looks, why young Jedi looks kind of like Ryo.
Yo, that's what young Jedi does look like Ryo.
See, okay, I don't quite buy this headcanon, this theory, because I think it's quite a bit too far out there, personally, for my taste. But it does, I had not thought of this word, but yeah, the young Jedi looking like Ryo, I'm like, that totally doesn't make a thing. And it sparked my headcanon, which I'm really, the more I think about it, the more I'm frustrated it didn't happen, which is that, like, okay, so in the course of the Ryo games, he gets introduced to time travel. I think in the third game, before he jumps to the Tamers universe, there is like a whole plot involving ENIAC, like the first computer, and it's like a time traveling computer or something.
Okay.
So like, I'm pretty sure before he jumps to the Tamers universe, there is time travel introduced. And like, we never find out more about who or what Jedi is. So like, the idea that Ryo, after going through everything he's been through, could grow up and then be like, I need to travel back in time to guide the kids would make so much sense. And I'm like, the more I think about it, I'm like, more pissed that didn't happen. And
try.
yeah, totally. Don't choose Ryo to try. That would be
great. Oh my god, that would be amazing.
So,
sorry. Ryo Jedi.
Yeah, so.
Try.
Anyway, this, so the next comment was from Ember Moto, and they linked to the Digimon Design Contest, because we talked about Doberman, how Doberman was a winner of the VGM Design Contest, and I did not realize there were so many design contests. Actually, I assume you haven't seen this article. You looked at it yet?
No.
So this list of Digimon design contests. And there are so many. They ran from 1999 through 2012. The last one was in 2012 for Digimon Cross Wars. And there were a decent number of winners for each one. I thought there was only like, the only ones I knew about were Dogmon and...
Did they just award all the kids participation
awards? No, it wasn't. I'm sure there were lots of entries. But the only ones I knew about before this were Dogmon and Doberman, which were only dogs. But it would have been funny. They were
dogs.
Only dogs. But there are a lot of Digimon that are like main, like pretty big Digimon that I did not realize. A bunch of them are like what would eventually become the armor Digimon. Things like Fly Beamon, Honey Beamon. But like Cyberdramon was one of the ones.
Oh, but Cyberdramon's actually cool.
Yeah, so there are like, I did a brief counting. It's like over 50 winners. And the one contest that I thought was interesting was, one of the first ones was the Digimon Web Dart Art. Bleh. Digimon Web Dart Art Contest.
Dot Art. Dart Art.
Defense against the Dart Arts. Yeah. Defense against the Dart Arts. Yes. The Digimon Web... Digimon Web Dot Art Contest. It's just pixel art. Anyway, they basically had to design the Digivice sprite instead of the Digimon itself. Like, instead of the, you know, detailed thing, which I think is pretty cool, because it, you know, like, having the skills to draw a very detailed Digimon would be a lot harder than the sprite thing. Anyway, but looking at these, I'm like, these sprites look nothing like the actual eventual design. Looking at Cyber... So the two ones that I thought were really interesting were Cyberdramon and Skullsatamon. Also a couple ones, like Valkyriemon was one of them, but they didn't have the original sprite in the Wikimon article. But yeah, Skullsatamon and Cyberdramon look nothing like their actual designs. Like, especially Skullsatamon looks like a ghost with a sword, maybe. And looks like a Bakuman with a sword. Anyway, these are cool. Dogmon also, I remember being one of the ones. And yeah, it's just dog, like Dobermon, but goofier. No, it's a Duck Hunt dog. That's what we decided.
It is the Duck Hunt dog.
Next comment was from Psychic Echo, and they did the math about, we're talking about Dolphin and the plausibility of Dolphin being Alice's grandmother, and based on his age.
Grandfather.
Yes, grandfather. I'm good at talking. And so that they reasoned out that, like, apparently the Digimon Wiki says that Dolphin is 50, and in the short story that Kanaka wrote, that I think it's called Digimon Tamers, (1984). So it's at 1984, and they mentioned that Dolphin's son would have been 10 at least then. So anyway, and they say that it works out, but that he'd have to be a really young father, like around 17, which...
Oh, scandalous.
But I'm like, okay, I was thinking, like, is that like a, trying to imply like, oh, Americans have kids so young, but I guess Rika's mom had her young too, so it's not unique to the Americans in the show. But yeah.
Young parents.
I also did a little bit of math, and like Alice, the show is set in 2001. And so for Alice to be 10, 2001, she would have to be born in 1981. So then between 1984, where her dad was a little kid making Digimon designs, and 1991, where she was born, only 7 years, and you'd have to go from designing Digimon with his dad to being a father. And I'm like, that's kind of, I guess 7 years is a long time, but that seems like a stretch. Anyway, I guess you could go from being 10 to being 17 and having kids. That's possible. They also mention a crackhead theory. That's not what... Oh, I'm so bad at
crackhead theory.
I'm just like, the pressure of trying to do this in one cut is going to make me say random things that make sense. Okay. Crackhead canon theory. And something to think about to add to the mystery of Alice. Alice and Rika have the same father. I mean, think about it. We don't know anything about Alice's mother, let alone her father, other than that he's Dauphin's son. And we don't know anything about where Rika's father is, or even who he is. And Alice and Rika actually sort of look alike. So I thought this was a kind of cool theory. It's not something I ever considered
Jesus,
before.
Jesus, y'all are busting out the theories.
I should also mention that that Psychic Gecko also linked to a Tumblr post they went to this in more detail, which I haven't read yet, but I plan to read later. So there's lots more detail and speculation there. That's cool. And they also had a comment about Jerry's prostitution parents.
Yo, that was a real thing.
Yes, okay. So Psychic Gecko also said, any of the reference and ideas about Jerry's parents being involved with prostitution are mentioned in Kanaka's notes under early planning. The idea is mentioned when talking about a character who is mentioned named Michio, who in the early planning stage was supposed to be a classmate that Takato was supposed to have feelings for, and that she often bought bread from Takato's family bakery, and that she was often left home at night because her parents were involved with prostitution, and that she took care of her younger sister. There are a couple of characters mentioned in the early planning pages who are classmates of Takato's, most of whom, with the descriptions they are given, were scrapped somewhere in the development or rewritten, and elements of each were transferred onto Jerry, Kazu, Kenta, and some of Takato's other classmates. Yeah, so just to confirm, like, yeah, I was particularly wrong about doubting that idea of, like, the prostitution thing. I thought that was just a, like, Tumblr hardcore, like, yeah, Digimon Tamers is so hardcore, there's prostitution parents.
I mean...
But, yeah, totally is a thing in the planning notes, and... What I think is interesting about that is, like, I don't know the level, like, how illegal slash taboo that is in Japan to have parents who are involved in prostitution. I suspect it's fairly illegal and extremely taboo, but I'm not sure of that. If you know any more information about prostitution in Japan and its legality or tabooness, I'd love to hear.
I mean, the notes itself lend itself to be taboo, the way it is written.
Sure, sure. But what I think is interesting about that is that, like, even that brief little description, it seems like it was trying to illustrate a contrast between Takata's family business is, like, super kid-friendly. It's like, a bakery! Yay! We make bread! Everyone loves bread! Yay! Versus, like, her family being, like, prostitution. She's left home at night alone and, like, has to take care of her sister, her brother, and, like, so...
I don't know. That's only more interesting in the current iteration where her parents run whatever, a ramen shop. And that's similar to Takato's thing.
Yeah, it's true.
They
is.
Secretly did a prostitution thing,
no.
too.
See, like, I don't like the idea of, like... I really don't like the idea of it's like, they seem like nice parents on the outside, but, like, they actually run a prostitution. That just seems even more like, hey, someone talking about Tamers is so hardcore. Anyway. The last comment I want to talk about was from Kaida Washi, and this is what they said. Cho isn't related to the Wongs. Cho being, they didn't mention this, but Cho is the is Henry's, did I mention? Yeah, sensei, but I can't remember what kind of martial art it is, so. Cho isn't related to the Wongs. It's very possible that either he and John Yu trained together at some point, and he has now been trusted to instruct Henry, or he himself trained John Yu and is now training Henry. Multiple generations training at the same dojo is not unheard of. I don't think it's that far off that he would open up his home for the Wongs then either. It actually very much plays into your exploration of family and home in the episode. There's a sort of bonding that happens from training, sweating, bleeding together, etc. I thought that was a really interesting point, since we were talking about what home is and means, and I feel like something I don't see much in Japanese media that focuses on family is the acknowledgement that family doesn't always have to be blood-related. It's something I think about a lot. I guess the messages come from other... I'm not sure where I've seen it. Anyway, but yeah, I like this representation of that, that, like, Cho definitely, their sensei does seem to be part of their family in that way that he takes them in, and that might not need to be blood-related. The other thing I thought of after reading this but hadn't thought of before is that I think Ash in the episode mentioned that, like, there's probably a strong immigrant community. The other thing is that, like, Henry's dad probably doesn't have other family nearby, and all the other characters go, okay, well, pretty sure Jerry's family goes to a relative. Takato's family, I think, goes to a relative. And Rika's family just, I guess they probably rent an apartment out of the rich. So, I don't know what they do. But it makes sense that Henry's family might not have family in the area, so they have to resort on this, you know, relationship with people in the community who aren't necessarily family, but you can become close enough people to make them kind of feel like family and feel like home. And that was a cool thing to think about. So before we move on to Ask About Edges, we're going to break so I can get some water, because, oh my God, I can't talk. Okay, so now on to Ask Podigious. The first question is from Ember Moto, and it was... We shouldn't call it Ask Podigious, we just call it Q&A. Anyway, first question was from Ember Moto, and it was specifically related to the draft, fantasy draft, but I think it's a question to discuss in general. And it was, is Granny a Digimon? Can it be counted as a Digimon for the draft? Galamon calls him a Digimon, and he was created using the same core programming as a Digimon. So first of all, yes for the fantasy draft, just... He's a Digimon. Sure, go for it.
Anything that's not a human can just be considered a Digimon.
Yeah, basically, like, when you're making a very, two very broad categories, yeah, everything that's not a human, Digimon. I think on Facebook, Victor also asked where the D-Rip agents can fall in that, and I'm like, just put them wherever, like, I mean, because they're, you know, explicitly made out to not be Digimon, but they're very similar to Digimon, and there's, like, the Jerry D-Rip agents, and, like, that very humanoid, like, that, if you want to call that a human, go for it, like...
There's you make only, and the way that we make up the rules for the draft, you make up the rules too. Yeah.
Also, between hearing this and having time to put in draft call for 312, there's like a 5 seconds, so it might not be that relevant. But anyway, yeah, do you consider Granny Digimon, Ashley?
Man, I don't know. I guess. I mean, it becomes an accessory for a Digimon.
The thing is, it's like, has a lot of the same, definitely the same origin. It definitely seems like what they are portraying Granny as is like a proto-Digimon. It's something that's like in the early stages of like, you know, it was something designed for original purpose, original AI, or not AI, but like original program that started to evolve intelligence on its own. And I think what in my mind separates it from Digimon is it doesn't have a personality.
It's implied that it kind of does have a personality.
It doesn't have a personality that, like, we as an audience can view. So I'm like, I, as the person who's viewing it, I'm like, I don't see the personalities. So like, I don't know. And, yeah.
Granny, I'm your friend.
No. Also not very monster-like. So I think I am at the shrug Kalmoji phase. But I think definitely more Digimon than anything else, obviously, but not really Digimon. I'm sure there's a little debate.
It's an Atmon.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a debate we'll get into playing with Atmon. And the thing is, like, all the reasons I could give for Granny not be a Digimon, if they were in the show to explicitly call out another thing as being, this is definitely a Digimon, even though it doesn't have the other things. Like, if there were a Digimon that was introduced that was completely silent, that couldn't talk, had no intelligence or whatever, but it was like, you know, designed like other Digimon. Mm-hmm. We would just be like, yeah. So it would break that pattern. So it's not like my rules for whatever are really coherent or solidified. So I don't know. Classification is always flawed. Labels are always flawed. So the next question was from Reek's My Favorite, and they asked, are you guys planning on going straight into Frontier after the Tamers movies, or will you be taking a break in between? So, I answered this question on the forum, so Reek's My Favorite already has the answer, but I thought other people will be interested in hearing what our general plans are, and loosely, we are still planning to do, like we did for Adventure in 02, a retrospective episode covering the entire series and our, you know, general favorite, I forget what all the different categories are, but favorite characters, arcs, ships, all those different things, various stats and all that kind of stuff, which I think will be really interesting to look at because we spent so much time on Tamers. We'll be recording it very long after we recorded last episode. Like, we'll be recording that one. We aren't recording it until October 1st because I want to have all of the feedback episodes done before we record it. Like, I want to have all of the listener feedback incorporated in our brains before we record the retrospective episode. Unlike the, like, you know, like we've gone on, you know, like, we didn't wait for 311 feedback before we recorded 312 and so on. But I think it's important for the retrospective episode to get all of the feedback in before we record it. So we're not recording that until October 1st, even though we finished recording the movies at this point. Last weekend was the last movie we recorded. Yeah. So it's going to be a good month in between our 314 episode and our 315 recording. So I think, I don't know. I think it's possible that, like, since we'll have taken such a long break between watching, by October 1st, we'll be, like, ready to dive into Frontier. But the other factor is that, so we're planning to release that episode 315 in the first week of October, I think on October 7th. And that's 33 days from now. And in addition to, so, before that episode comes out, I'm planning to release 12 episodes in 33
days. Watch out, you guys!
So, you know, that's like roughly less than 3 days between each episode. So some of them are feedback episodes like this. So they're like kind of mini episodes. The main reason for that is that there's Tamers. We're still planning to release Tamers episode once a week, roughly. And each of them has a feedback episode. And there are a couple of tri-themed episodes. I guess it doesn't hurt to tease what they are now. We have an episode that we recorded a long, long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
That was with some of our friends. It was when it's relevant now. It's about Tri Chapter 1, which is relevant again because of the movie coming out soon, but it was about
the dub coming out.
Well, the dub coming out soon. But yeah, it was back when a lot of people were talking about whether the first movie worked for people who were fans of Digimon or not.
Fans of Digimon.
Right. Fans of Digimon or not. Yes. So, because a lot of people were saying, this is a good movie for fans. It has nothing for non-fans. And I challenged that premise. So we got some more fans who have not seen any other Digimon to watch it and...
But are big into anime.
Yeah. So they're really versed in anime. And then we got their reactions. And I guess we shouldn't spoil what they are. But
I don't know what they were.
And
it was so long ago, I forgot.
So basically it's going to be like, for the next couple weeks, a Tamers episode at the beginning of the week. And a tri episode at the end of the week, roughly. There's going to be that tri episode we're calling Digi News internally.
Digi News.
There's also going to be our reactions to the dub the week after that. And then the week after that is going to be our first reaction, like our first impressions flashcast episode to the new move to Chapter 3. And then the schedule will be kind of weird because then I'd forget. Anyway, I think by that point, all of the Tamers episodes will be out. Anyway, that's a thing. We also have the Wadakoji episode still, working on. Cat's making strange noises. So, yes.
He's a weirdo.
So there are lots of things in the air. Other big elephant mon in the room is Atmon, because that will be airing October 1st. So one of those episodes we have planned between now and the Tamers last episode is... I'm not planning to have our own episode, or its own standalone episode about that Atmon first episode. But I did schedule things so that if Atmon's on Crunchyroll within an hour of airing, then we will be primed to have reactions about it on a feedback episode. But I don't actually know if premieres go up on Crunchyroll within that short time frame. We also don't know if it's going to be on Crunchyroll. It might not even be on Crunchyroll. Most anime that anime fans are interested are on Crunchyroll each season, but there's a big exception to that, which is more child audience things. I don't quite know the licensing restrictions on that, but like things like new episodes of
Pokemon.
Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, there are other like more child. I can't remember.
Is that because they get aired on TV still here? Like they get,
I don't know.
I don't know.
It might be. It probably is. I think it's also more that like the companies that are involved in that have the licensing rights.
Mm-hmm.
For the dub and the sub, but they don't care about the sub one, so they just care about airing it for the general audience, I guess. But I think there are also, like, in addition to those shows, which clearly are tied up in having an English language release, I'm pretty sure there are also ones that are child-oriented that don't have that much of a public audience, that just Crunchyroll doesn't care as much about licensing because their audience isn't kids, I think. I'm not sure, but I think, like, there are other kids card franchises things that don't get picked up. Like, there's, like, a Card Fight Vanguard or something. I'm not 100% sure on this, but I thought this was the case. Might be wrong. But anyway, so it's possible it's not on Crunchyroll. I think it's likely. I mean, Hunters... The last Digimon season aired on TV was on Crunchyroll, and that was in 2012 when Crunchyroll had a much more limited offering each season. So, well, I don't know how much more limited it was. I think it was much more limited, but I'm not sure number-wise. But, so that was 4 years ago, so I think it's very possible, hopefully.
Mm.
And, I mean, they are pretty invested in Tri, and Tri seems to be doing pretty well for them, so hopefully they'll get it too. And, yes, that might not be possible, but hopefully we'll have reactions. And, yeah, so in terms of our actual plans for Atmon, it totally depends on what kind of series it is. If we like it, you know, even if we love the first episode, I don't know if we're ready to be like, and we're going to commit to doing an episode a week about it. You know, like,
I can tell you that Asher and Andrew are nuts.
Yes, so if we do some kind of try thing on a regular basis, who knows what it'll be.
Atmon.
What did I say?
Try.
The same thing, right?
No.
But what we might do is some kind of thing where we do a rotation, like every couple, like rotate between Frontier, Atmon, and some other special episodes. Something we're also thinking about for Frontier is not going into as much fine-grained detail as we did for Tri, and by Tri I mean Tamers.
Tamers.
All these names are confusing. Yes, yeah, so, or we're trying to plan out the season so there are fewer episodes and more episodes of the show covered per episode, for podcast episode, because, first of all, it just took so long to get through Tamers by going into so much detail. And like, the more episodes, more podcast episodes split it up into, the more work there is. I know that makes it harder to keep up with it, because it, you know, like, it's harder for us to watch too, to watch 10 episodes for a podcast instead of watching 3. And we know it's harder as a listener to, if you're following along, to watch all those episodes, but we'll probably have more space out if we do that. And that hopefully makes it easier to binge. Anyway, we also just don't want to, like, we're really excited for Frontier, but we don't want to be on it for a year. That's one thing that Tamers and like, I was really hoping we wouldn't be on it for over a year, but I think at this point we are going to be. We started in September, early September.
It was late September.
So, yeah. And also, like, so the question of whether we're taking a break, which is the main question this was, I would. It's like, taking a break is nice, but I think with so much going on with Digimon, I don't think we'd be able to take a break for very long without being like, you know, because when we'd want to take a break at the beginning of October, there'd be, I mean, I guess Try would not be in its hype cycle because the movie would have just come out. But there'd still be new Atmon episodes once a week. There'd be hype for the next Try movie. We'd be starting Frontier soon. Like, I think there would be so many things going on in Digimon in general that we wouldn't be able to stay far from it for long. You know, like,
I think it's also a personally dangerous time to be like, we're going to go on a break in October, knowing that holidays are harder to do things. Like, we're going to Japan for 2 weeks
over
Thanksgiving, then, like, the winter holidays, Christmas and New Year's are always hard. So I feel like that would just spiral out. Like, that's partially how Tamers spiraled out of control, was in that area.
I don't think that's really where Tamers spiraled out of control, because I was trying initially in the beginning of the season to do like we recorded every feedback episode. We didn't bank up episodes. And we were like, record 301, then 3.1.5, then 302, then 3.2.5. And in the last half, the second half of the season, going, banking up main episodes and then recording feedback episodes, like going back in time to fit them back in, has been much more conducive to a regular schedule. But having weird holiday scheduling does make things difficult. So yeah, you probably won't take, we definitely won't do like a several month break between seasons like we did for between 1 and 2 and between 2 and 3. But you know, maybe a couple weeks. I don't know. I still think a couple weeks would be hard knowing that there's new Atmon episodes airing every week. So just a note that you can always leave us questions for our Q&A segment at, just contact us on social media with a question and we'll record it for next episode. Now, before we go out, we want to recommend things that we've been enjoying with our recommendation, articulation, plug your hug your tug,
I'm gonna
plug.
Punch you.
I am going to recommend, Mr. Robot Season 2, which is currently airing. And when you're hearing this, I think there are 3 episodes left. Actually, I don't know when you're hearing this. When we're recording this, there are 3 episodes left in the season. I don't think it's quite as strong as Season 1. Part of that is just because of the less novelty. I don't think the season is necessarily bad. It's still exciting. Season 1 was, a lot of the enjoyment of Season 1 was predicated on a twist at the end, and there has not been quite the same level of twist so far. So maybe there will be in the last 3 episodes. It's still really good. It's still directed really fantastically. It doesn't really feel like as much has moved in the season, which is partly why I'm like a little hesitant, to recommend it. Okay. I guess this is tough because it's like, if you've already seen Season 1, comparing it to that, if you haven't seen Season 1, like, the show was amazing. Like, it's like, okay, it went from a 5-star to 4.5-star. You know, like, it's still great. It's still saying, I should explain what it's about. It's about hacking, and it portrays hacking really, really realistically, which is surprising. But it's not really about the hacking. It's about the human emotions and the mental stability of the main character, and it's very good and it is very novel. So Ashley, what are you recommending?
I will recommend the band Against the Current. They are like Paramore meets We Are the In Crowd.
I have no idea these words you're saying are.
You don't know who Paramore is?
It sounds like a thing I've heard of.
Oh, you like one of their songs.
Yeah, that was like 10 years ago.
Okay. Well, sure. It's the new iteration of things you liked from 10 years ago. It's for the times where you feel emo, but you just kind of want to rock out. I don't know. I was listening. I really liked their song called See You Again, which is just kind of like a sad, nostalgic, like, we'll catch up again with your friends when we see each other again. Which is often how I just feel in life. Then I bought their first album because I was like, well, I like this one song and that's just how I roll. And then I was like, oh, this album's awesome. End story.
Cool story, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can find the full show notes for this episode by going to patages.com/311.5. You can leave us feedback in the comment section on the site, or you can just let us know your thoughts on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Reddit, email, With the Will, SoundCloud, YouTube, Skywriting, Foreboding Prophecies, or Color-Coded Smoke Signals. I wonder if anyone can understand what I'm saying during this
Probably
section.
Not.
I feel like I try to slow it down, but I don't know if it actually works.
I also don't think that people get when we added this joke and why. Podigies is made possible with the support from our awesome Patreon: Amanda Anjumon, David Graumon, Eric Angemon, Jack Santa Agumon, Joe Keto, Justin Blaine Davis, Kai Lunamon, Kaiser Washi, Sam Kriwagamon, and Stevie Patamon. I've been challenged to make a rap of all these names. I'm gonna do it, yo. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's not a rap just by saying yo at the end, actually.
Yo, 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 yo!
If you want to support the show on Patreon, you can get some cool rewards, like access to our private Slack chat group for $1 a month, monthly stickers for $5 a month, and early episodes for $10 a month. And like you mentioned before, we have some exciting new artwork coming down soon, hopefully, so yes. And also, reaching our next goal will allow us to make podcast episodes about movies related to Digimon, so check out patreon.com/podiges to help us out.
You can find Podigious on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get funny images and GIFs related to the show. If you don't like how we pronounce GIF, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you can become a Patreon so you can vote on how we have to pronounce it. I can be bribed to do anything for money. You can find me on Twitter. I hate this part.
Oh my god. You and Andrew always, I'm like, what's so confusing about it? You can find me on Twitter at Jeff.
Because it's
Jeff.
Weird to say...
And nothing's weird about it. Yes. There's no way to write it out that specifies how you would say the format, but everyone stumbles over it.
You can find me on Twitter at AshMcD00. Where can they find you, annoying boy?
Jeff and Jeff on Twitter and in your heart. Our Igneous Imp Monarch is by the awesome Vmon Tamer, whom you can find on Twitter and DeviantArt as Vmon Tamer. Share the podcast with your friends who have secret backstories about prostitution parents, and don't share the podcast with your friends who might actually be young Jedi. And join us tomorrow as we turn on the Mega Gargamon vacuum cleaner. Bye. And remember, never stop visualing.
I'm gonna punch you.
Digivolve
your differences.
Digivolve your differences.
It's much easier when you're face to face.
No, it isn't. It was harder. I had to use my hand.